Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We thank you for choosing our program. We are here live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we make it very convenient for you to hear the program on your schedule. BuckmasterShow.com has our podcast, as does the TucsonCitizen.com site and TucsonSentinel.com as well. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is with me in studio. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Mark B., like boy Evans, administrator of the Gannett Corporation owned, speaking of, TucsonCitizen.com, which is a community of bloggers, of which the Buckmaster Show is a proud contributor. If you have a question or comment, our Buckmaster Show live line is ready for you at 790-2040. Mr. Huckleberry would be glad to hear from you with your questions or comments. And of course, we invite you to be a friend of the show on our active Facebook page, which is very simple to find. My name, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
And we welcome Mr. Huckleberry. Chuck, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill, and Mark.
Well, there was quite a bit of response to this online survey about the bond issues. 144 bonds will eventually go on to the committee to be vetted out. What have we learned from this?
Well, we learned a lot, and you're right. We were quite surprised that we got 17,000 responses, and I think it just kind of shows the power of the Internet and how people are actually getting access easily to the Internet and able to complete the survey online. Of the 17,000 responses, in fact, we were ready to cut the survey off. It was only planned to go for 10 days, and we actually extended it another week simply because about the last day we were going to cut the survey off, we were still getting 600 responses a day. So it's been very successful. It's a good tool. It allows us to kind of measure the involvement of the community and how they're following the bonds, what their preferences are, and what specific projects they like, and frankly, by not voting for some, what they don't like. One of the things we found out from the survey, and it's really been two parts. You've heard the reporting about the HIPPO exhibit and all those, the priorities and the top 25. Those are fine. More importantly, what hasn't been reported is the survey actually had a section in the very beginning that hasn't been reported looking at voter preference. What do you like, what do you like extremely well? What do you like very well? And then what don't you like at all? Where would you spend your money? And what was very interesting coming out of that was job creation, job growth, and employment and training was actually the number one preference. It got basically a 69% of, either they had
that's
to have
the first
it
I've heard
or very, 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 very
that's
important.
That's the first I've heard about that
particular piece. And so we actually measured some policy kind of preferences of the public before we even went into the specific second most important category to them was transportation. And we probably think that's, probably pretty relevant given the condition of our streets. Ranking third just behind was, and not by much, parks. And then you go down to the bottom of the list and you get into flood control. Well, it hasn't rained in a long time, so people's minds and memories are not about that. So that first part of the questionnaire hasn't been reported much, but it gives us some very good insight into the policy positions and what people want to spend money on. And their number one preference is job creation and training and employment and income.
Okay, here's Mark Evans, TucsonCitizen.com.
I had some concerns with the survey because when I took it, it was clearly a popularity contest. I thought there was missing information, and you even mentioned this in an Arizona Daily Star article, that it didn't include the dollar amounts and whether the particular item that someone would be voting on had actually already been vetted by the bond committee and was actually up for serious consideration. So what is the real practical effect of having done the survey in the first place, and what role will it play with the committee and with the board in determining of all the things everybody wants to go before the voters will actually go before the voters.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, you know, I wrote a note to the board and said, here's a survey, but here's the things to be careful about. And I think the next thing I saw was an article in the Star which said, county administrator disagrees with his own survey. Well, I was just basically pointing out.
Yeah, I have the headline right here. It was Mr. Huckleberry, Pima County leader questions own survey.
Yeah, and that wasn't, you know, what we said is here are the limitations, just like Mark said. You didn't have numbers adjacent to projects. You didn't have complete descriptions. Some of the projects came in very late, and we just said, and the bond committee says, well, put everything out there. Let's get a good handle on what people think. And so I think its purpose will be that it was very successful and can be a good tool. And I think you'll see that survey repeated several times in the future before we actually have a bond issue as the committee begins to narrow things down and deliberate. What I think this survey does is say, well, here's a few projects that are you have to have on. And for example, I'll give you is one of the number one categories, and I can't remember which it was the Arizona Desert Museum turned out to be very, very popular. Mm-hmm. But people didn't know that particular project only cost $4 million. And so, therefore, it's going to be, you know, have to have inclusion into any bond issue. So there are a lot of things and things the survey did is talk about what has to be in because they've been so popular. I think the survey also showed us one other thing we were interested in, and that is how well is the community networked together. With regard to basically having support for a particular project. The HIPPO example, the exhibit is a great example. It shows that, obviously, whoever supports the zoo in Tucson is very well connected with a good group of folks who are very active. And you really want those folks coming out in an election. So, you know, it does have some merit there. It is not at all scientific. And so what will ultimately have to be done is someone else will have to start doing some scientific polls. The county's precluded from that because we can't influence the outcome of an election. But we can certainly measure what the voters think and want. And that was the purpose of this poll. And
will that give you then items to put on the bond that are voter bait? And so that you're trying to attract a particular voter to vote yes on a particular question because of that one item, which also says yes to the other items that are under that question?
I think probably honestly, yes. I mean, it's the issue of when you go to an election, you want to pass. And so what you need to do is put items on that the public is well aware of and thinks highly of. And so, you know, it's just that's what we do.
What are you thinking, 2014 or is 2015 still a possibility?
I think 2014 is a possible date, but it's fading fast, and I think probably 2015 is more likely. And the reason is the city of Tucson has formed their own bond advisory committee, and that's fine. But they're going to be in deliberations themselves about what they want to fund probably this next year. And so it would really be probably counterproductive for us to go off and think about a bond election not knowing what the city's bond advisory committee will fund on their end that then the county bond advisory committee doesn't have to pick up. So I think we need to let that process work its way out and determine just exactly, you know, how it overlaps with the county bond issue because I think the last thing that we need is we don't need to be having overlapping projects or competition because that's just going to do nothing but confuse the voters. So we have to be very careful. So I think 2015 is probably a more realistic date.
So now because of the recession, the county got off of the schedule that I think that you have said before, every 4 or 5 years, because there's such an unmet infrastructure need within in the county and the deficit, if you will, of the growth of those infrastructure needs simply has gotten worse since the last bond, which was 2004.
2004.
Right. So I don't know how much it is. It's probably a couple of billion dollars. You're obviously not going to put $2 billion before the voters. So do you have a target number? And then what is the criteria that the bond committee is using to winnow out the ones that won't make it the cut this time?
A couple of things. One is you're right. The target gets smaller and smaller because our assessed value, our tax base is actually shrinking. It's still shrinking. And so we've committed to voters your tax rate will never exceed 81.5 cents. And so we have to work within those financial constraints. And so if we go to a bond issue in 14 or even 15, it probably can't be much bigger than about $650 million. Our lodger's bond issue was in 2009. 2004, which was about $540 million. So it tells you it's still a significant bond issue, but it can't be $800 million. It can't be a billion. The committee had narrowed down some of the requests to probably $700 or $800 million, and then opened it back up and said, "Well, anybody can submit anything they want because it's been 2007. We've been deliberating, so time passes, and let's find out what people's priorities are." Well, what we got back was now $1.3 billion of projects, so that needs to be winnowed down to a probably manageable amount of about $600 million. And we'll go from there. The bond committee has had a series of things they really have started to stress. They've said, we want projects that are regional in nature, that benefit as many people as possible. We don't want to be doing every jurisdiction's operating and maintenance of their facilities, because we think that's their obligation. They've been talking about, we need to really, and this coincides with part of the survey, they've been talking about economic development and jobs a lot. And so while it's not a specific project, it really puts the criteria out there that says anything that develops the community from an economic development perspective or creates jobs or creates income ought to be looked at. And that's kind of the priorities they're establishing.
Okay, 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Rose, real quick with Mr. Huckleberry before we take the break, about, because you mentioned jobs, you had a brief reaction to the STARS 8-day series on poverty. Would you summarize that for my listeners, your reaction, please?
Well, my reaction is that we don't do it, and we don't work in a coordinated fashion. We need to. This is a problem that's bigger than any local government and any community college or the university. We all need to work together, because the goal here is to get everybody employed and to basically have the level or the wage that they earn tied to their capability. So we need to get people trained. We need to, you know, strive to get primary employment in this community, you know, not necessarily service employment. And through that primary employment, the whole region gets richer. And so the biggest point is we cannot have competing interest or people basically either concerned about what the other person's doing or not. We all need to work together. And frankly, that's always very difficult to do.
Okay, Chuck Huckleberry with us on our Friday Focus interview. Mark Evans is here as well. 790-2040. If you have a comment or question for Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, let us know. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton-Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hey, this is Terry live from Sweet Tomatoes. I'm right off of North Stone. I'm at my favorite restaurant right here at Sweet Tomatoes. And you know what? We're giving away school supplies. And it is back to school, and why not bring the kids and the family to enjoy their new Asian-inspired recipes? Now through the end of the month, come enjoy the Thai peanut and red pepper toss salad and their fresh herb Thai slaw. You can even create your own soup by adding any of the 6 fresh ingredients to the famous Asian ginger broth. Yummy! In addition, enter to win our Taste the World sweepstakes for your chance to win a $5,000 culinary vacation and daily instant prizes. Visit SweetTomatoes.com for contest details and official rules and to view the full menu. Sweet Tomatoes, always the freshest ingredients from the farm to your fork. Come on by. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Spin the famous prize wheel. We're on the corner of Stone and Wetmore, right across the street from the Tucson Mall. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. This is Terry Live with 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Well, 21 on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Chuck Huckleberry, Administrator Pima County. Mark Evans is here from the TucsonCitizen.com. The Rosemont situation looks like it has gone now to the opponents have taken it now to another level. That level would be the legal avenue. Is that kind of how you see it, Mr. Huckleberry?
Yes, I think the opponents in Save the Santa Ritas have filed some litigation associated with permitting processes out of the state. Obviously, the federal process hasn't been completed yet. We just submitted our comments to the forest supervisor on August the 14th, actually, a day before the deadline. We had about 160 pages of comments, as long as probably about a 10 or 12 page cover letter that summarized our comments. So we still have a number of concerns, and it's really up to the Forest Service and how they deal with those concerns and where Rosemont goes, and whether they deem it to be appropriate or sufficient enough to make a final determination and then, you know, issue a record of decision.
And the deadline, the extent, well, Congressman Grijalva was on the show yesterday explaining the end of September is important for those who are opposing the mine because it would be extending the comment period. Is that correct?
I think what happens is there's rules that have already gone through and been approved through the Federal Register dealing with how you comment on draft inter environmental impact statements. And so it, depending on what set of rules this particular, you know, project fell under. And so it typically would make the process a lot more interactive than it is today. So it could delay it, yes.
Okay, here's Mark Evans, TucsonCitizen.com.
I wanted to go back to the potential bond election because I know the Bond Advisory Committee's got the meeting coming up in September, I believe, where they're going to go through some of this. In 2004, voters approved like $170 million for open space for this Northern Desert Conservation Plan, and that was to acquire open spaces so that the county could achieve a Section 10 permit, which is kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card with the Fish and Wildlife Service for endangered species and threatened species and the like. In preparing for the show, I noticed that there's another few million, I'm not exactly sure the number because I saw two different numbers, being kicked about for this bond election. Will you have more open space acquisition on this bond election, do you think? How much money are we talking about, and what's the status of that Section 10 permit?
A couple of things. One is that, yes, I think open space will be on the bond issue again. It probably will not be at the amount that it was approved in 2004. I think the bond committee has talked about numbers that vary anywhere from as low as $60 million to as high as $110 million. My guess is they're going to go on the low end. That's just kind of looking at what they've been doing. And the Section 10 permit is being processed, and we hope to have it before, we'll say, the end of this calendar year, but it may slip into 14. So it's going through its final environmental review with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, and so we are about to achieve it, and my guess it will be within the next 6 months.
And does that permit, though, still hinge on continuing acquisitions of open space?
It does, but not for a long time, because with the open space that we've acquired already with the allocation of $170 million of bonds, we have enough credit for probably 20 years or more of development. And so so we're way ahead of the game with regard to mitigation and buying properties for mitigation. If we have an additional bond issue, it just simply pushes our compliance period out further. So it's just, we basically have been banking these credits.
So when you got $1.3 billion in bond requests and you're only going to probably be able to do $600 million, why do open space on this particular bond?
Well, you still have a lot of community interest in open space. In fact, even the bond committee is a little split on how much to put in open space. So I think they're going to put something. Will they put exactly what the environmental community would like to see in it? I doubt it.
County, the headline, Arizona Daily Star, countywide tax rates approved going up. What's the bottom line as far as my pocketbook is concerned?
Well, it's an accurate headline, but the headline should have continued. And assessed values go down 8%, and therefore the total amount of taxes taken by the county is really $4 million less than last year. So everybody's, you know, different because it depends on your assessed value. But if you looked at the average and talked about the average taxpayer, they should see a very slight decrease in taxes taken to operate government at the county level next year as opposed to this year.
So if they've been budgeting, like I like to do, put a little aside every month for the county taxes, it probably will be in the ballpark.
They should be just fine. They might even have a little left over for a movie and a Coke.
There you go. Matthew is up next now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. And speaking of property tax rates, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Jeff, could you explain, I understand the reason why we raised property taxes, because you were concerned about a budget shortfall. Could you talk about the budget last year, the growth, the value of that, versus what you're expecting the budget to, if you increase the property rates, what the budget you'll be dealing with this coming year, since it's effective almost immediately? Thank you.
Yeah, sure, Matthew. What we did is we raised the primary property tax rate to offset the loss in the assessed value because of the recession, our assessed value is still going down. The property tax is actually shrinking. And so if you did the math, the amount of taxes, the total taxes, both primary and secondary, that we're taking in for next year, which is already in this adopted budget, is about $4 million less than what we took in last year. Now, how that balances out is, you got to remember that 400,000 parcels that we levy property taxes against in Pima County. Plus, you have to remember there are 94 different property taxing jurisdictions in Pima County. The county only controls four. So the four that we control, we know that the impact to total taxes on most people is about the same, or it might go down slightly. But we can't control those other 90 taxing jurisdictions. We know that a lot of the fire districts raised their rates even higher than we did, as well as the school district. So, it's something you got to take a look at when you get your tax bill, because they'll all be itemized. Every tax jurisdiction will have their line.
I usually don't use personal anecdotes when I'm querying elected or officials, but my daughter had an experience earlier this week where she found some stray dogs, and it was early in the morning, and she wanted to take them over to the animal care center, and it was closed. And long story short, she ended up having to go pay to take have the Humane Society take the dogs off her hands. Is it a budgetary reason why there's no 24-hour intake for stray animals at the care center?
Mark, yes. And what the problem is that we operate on a longer day schedule so that we're there after hours to get people to hopefully in and out and to adopt. And we know that your instant, and we've had one. Our deputy county administrator, Jan Lesher, is out there one day after an incident, and some lady who was out jogging had brought in a Great Dane that she had, you know, recovered. And I think at that point somebody said, well, you know, we're not going to make this lady run around in her car all day with a Great Dane. We took it in. The problem is we take in stray animals for free. And if you then have an animal, you got to pay the Humane Society $35. We've got to do something about that. So we might start splitting our shifts a little bit. But I think we should have been open and we should have taken those dogs. And we need to do something to fix it.
Got to go. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Reporters Roundtable is next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Army Major Nidal Hassan has been convicted in the deadly 2009 shooting rampage at Fort Hood in Texas. Now, jurors will consider whether Hassan should spend life in prison or should be given a death sentence. And a military jury has sentenced a U.S. soldier who massacred 16 Afghan civilians last year to life in prison without a chance of parole. Jurors have begun deliberating the case of an Ohio woman accused of helping her daughter beat up a fellow student inside a high school classroom. Precious Allen is charged with misdemeanor assault, aggravated trespassing. Stock market's been moving between small gains and losses today after the government reported a plunge in new home sales. Right now, the Dow's up about 38 points, the Nasdaq ahead 17. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this Friday edition. Every Friday at 12:30, we do our Reporters Roundtable featuring our local journalist friends who come into the program. We thank them very much for doing so. Today we have Dan Shear with us. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun and Mark Evans, administrator for the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is a proud contributor. If you have a question on anything we are going to be discussing, if you hear something that you would like to weigh in on, 790-2040. I've already welcomed Mark. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Let's pick up a little bit on what Chuck Huckleberry said, the bond election. It sounds like he's talking now about 2015.
Right, and that's interesting when he brings up the city of Tucson and its role, and it all makes sense. I know a lot of people don't want to wait. We have a lot of projects in Green Valley and Saurita that are being batted around, and we'd love to get to it, but we, more importantly, would want to make sure that it passes, frankly. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think he's pretty much saying that he's going to recommend 2015.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me, because they did the survey now, and that seemed to me as a signal that, well, that must mean they're looking for 2014,
right,
and they're trying to get the data for it. And then to say, well, probably not, maybe 2015 because of what the city's doing. It was typical Chuck. He hedged his bets. He said maybe and could be and possibly a lot of times. So we'll see what happens. It's ultimately up to the board and what the city does.
We've talked about Grand Canyon University and the decision to build in Mesa. This is something that Dan Shear, a couple of weeks ago, you said that was not surprising. You spent earlier in your career, some time with the Arizona Republic and the East Valley area. So the Mesa decision, as far as you're concerned, didn't have anything to do with Tucson.
No, in fact, they said that too. Grand Canyon University said that very thing, that their priority was going to be in the East Valley, and they were looking at Mesa and Gilbert. And not surprised, A.T. Still University has a presence there. Mesa Community College is huge. They've got campuses across the city also. And so this wasn't surprising. Tucson isn't out of it, or I should say the Tucson area isn't out of it. I wonder, though, really, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. I would love to hear what Grand Canyon really thinks of what went on here in Tucson.
And that is what Mark Evans, I think, is trying to find out. Mark has a column at TucsonCitizen.com today. The column is that Tucson didn't lose Grand Canyon University.
Right. There's been a narrative in the opposition voices of the people that are opposed to the Democratic leadership of the county and the city, and like to assert that, that Tucson isn't very good at doing business. And so they were saying this is a great example of that, in that the city essentially drove GCU out of the city, or they had a deal and the deal fell apart. And that's just not true. That there was discussions, there was negotiations, there were some neighbors who, when they found out that the city was talking about the El Rio Golf Course over on Speedway, who got upset about it, and that caused a council member to say, well, okay, well then I don't really want to support it, and it was in her ward. And so the other council members, through their deference rules, or unwritten deference rules, said, okay, well, if the person whose ward it is isn't going to support it, then we won't support it. But not that they wouldn't support GCU coming to the city, just not that El Rio site. And from everybody that I've talked to and have told me, the GCU was still interested in Tucson. And what I don't know is what was the ultimate decision, and whether it was they didn't want to build two campuses at the same time, but they still want to go come to Southern Arizona, and they may still come to Tucson or Oro Valley or maybe even Green Valley.
But I think, Mark, that there are some subtleties there also in the decision to not have them go into Regina Romero's ward, especially when she kind of throws out there very briefly that, oh, you know, some of my constituents are gay and they don't like the fact that GCU may not be as friendly to them as they would like. There were little things that were just kind of dripping out there that I'm sure had GCU wondering, is this really the place for us?
And Tucson's a very liberal town, and that was probably going to be something that would come up, especially if the city was being seen as subsidizing it
sure.
in some way through some sweetheart land deal or whatever. But we never even really got to that point. And GCU has been very careful about not saying anything along those lines, that those were of concern to them. You know, I think that if there was a mistake that was made by the city, the mistake was made in picking El Rio as a potential site in the first place. That was a site of quite a deal of acrimony back in 1970. The mostly Latino neighborhoods over there in the 60s had helped get a bunch of Democrats elected to the council, and they wanted their payoff. They wanted parks, and they wanted streets for their paved streets for their neighborhood, and they didn't get it. Instead, they got the golf course. They got mad and they protested it. There was candlelight vigils. There was marches. It was a pretty big to do, and there's still a lot of hurt feelings over there. And when the city was going to pull the plug, talking about pulling the plug on golf, maybe, or maybe doing something without a real golf course, they were told that, well, we would like to put a park there, but we've got this contract with this youth golf organization that for several years, so El Rio has to stay for the time being. And then a few months later, they find out, oh, you know, well, we're going to maybe put this campus here. And so I think the neighborhood was rightly upset about it.
But look what Chuck just said, where he talked about 69% of the people being interested in job creations. This would have brought a lot of jobs to that area. I understand open space is important, but there is open space nearby there. And was there a sense that things were being done behind closed doors? Absolutely. That, I think, was the big mistake.
Dan Scheer is with us. That was Dan. Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Mark Evans also with me, TucsonCitizen.com. Dan has been following the Rosemont story since day one, and there were a couple of developments during the past week that we need to talk about. First of all, Rosemont is saying their picture, financial picture, as far as funding looks a little better for them, at least in the near term. Is that what you're understanding, Dan?
Well, actually, I think it's the opposite. I think that their construction financing, once they get to the point where they're going to break ground on this, they've got the financing in order. This is a $1.2 billion project, and they're saying, okay, we're almost there. We're fine. In the short term, however, the reserves are low, and this really kind of feeds into, I believe, the tactic of the opposition, which is just to kind of drain them of their finances and in hopes that they will abandon this project. Because the latest lawsuit that was filed, what was it, last week, I don't think is going to really stand. It's going to delay things, but it's really not going to bode well for the opponents of Rosemont. It's not going to go anywhere.
Wasn't, Dan, there already a ruling over this permit already? That there was some sort of legal process where the the permit was given some sort of due process.
Absolutely it was. And ADEQ will say that they did employ independent analysis, which is one of the opponents of Rosemont say that there wasn't any. But they say, yes, there was. There were plenty of public hearings. They stick by their conclusion that that the ruling on this aquifer permit is fine and it's going to stay. And Rosemont says the same thing. And they're saying, you know what, it's a delay tactic. They're probably right. The question is, will it work?
I want to talk a little bit about this Imagine Greater Tucson. The paid staff will be paid no more and will be volunteers over there. And, of course, this came out, Mark Evans, out of the town hall
right.
series that we had a few years ago. And I thought Tim Steller did a nice job with his column this week, basically saying enough with these regional visions. Tucson now needs action. In fact, the conclusion of his column, now it's time for Tucson to take a nice, healthy break from the big visions and start doing. You know, one of the knocks on Tucson is that we really talk everything to death. It has to be consensus here.
We're really good at meetings. We have lots and lots of meetings and studies and blue ribbon panels. You know, Tim's right, but that was what Imagine Tucson was supposed to, Greater Tucson was supposed to be. The Tucson Town Hall had people from all walks of life in the city come together, I think it was at Ventana Canyon, for over several days. They had all these breakout sessions. They had these rankings of lists, which was your priority, which should we work on. And then what was supposed to come out of that What Tucson Wants meeting was an action plan that would then implement those wishes. And Imagine Greater Tucson was supposed to be the vehicle for accomplishing that. And that just never worked, because that's not the political process. You can have all of the third-party NGO organizations you want to say this is what we should be doing, but at the end of the day, it comes down to who the voters are electing and what the budgets are and what the taxes are and whether you can accomplish those things. And, you know, there's a lot of organizations like this. There's the MTCVB, there's the Chamber, there's Tucson Leadership, there's the Metro Pima Alliance. We've got lots of organizations like this that are all geared towards making Tucson better and, you know, you know, one last one I don't think is going to hurt us too much.
Well, it's interesting what Chuck just said. In fact, I laughed out loud when I heard him say it. It's really hard for people around here to agree on anything. And, boy, isn't that the truth.
It really is the truth.
Imagine Greater Tucson came down and talked to us at the Green Valley News a couple of years ago. And people down there had a little problem with the name of it, Imagine Greater Tucson. It's like, you know, and they left the building. And, you know, they presented everything and they left the building. And I said to myself, well, we're never going to hear from them again. And for the exact reasons that we saw this kind of this wipeout this week. It is some good ideas. I don't want to attack that, but in the end, you got to get a lot of people on board, and it's very, very difficult around here to do it. I think Tucson has to be happy with small victories rather than going after the real big one every time, and it's the small victories that will add up eventually.
Arizona is suing the federal government again, this time over the voter form. Tom Horn, back in the news.
Right. So the state had essentially sued the federal government that said that, you know, we want to use a voter ID form for all forms of registration, including the federal form through the motor voter law. And what the federal government says was you as a state can't tell us what the rules are for voter registration, and we don't set a rule for ID. And that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, that's right, the state can't tell us, can't force the federal government to use its ID rules. But Justice Scalia very helpfully laid out, but you know, I don't understand why you didn't do this way, which was to ask the federal government to use the ID form. And when the federal government tells you no, sue under states' rights provisions in the Constitution. So that is what not only Arizona is doing, but I think Kansas also jumped on this, and then Georgia and another state,
Texas, I think
are also going to file similar suits.
And is, you know, the real question here, Bill, is there a problem with voter fraud? And really, no. We had an incident in 2008 down in Sarita involving a couple who voted twice in the presidential election. But overall, is there a problem? No. But should we be on top of this and making sure that we don't have a problem in the future? Absolutely. That's not to say one way or the other. But I like the debate. I like the fact that it's out there. I don't think that this is a waste of time to be discussing this.
Well, the ruling as it stands now essentially creates two levels of registration in Arizona. The people who registered under the federal law, using the federal form, and the people who registered under the state form. And the question is whether the people who registered under the federal form can vote in state elections because they didn't meet the state's guidelines for voter ID. And so this is essentially a way to clear that up, you know, which could be cleared up legislatively by simply removing the voter ID part.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Dan Scheer will be back in this very studio Monday as I'm up in the Canadian Rockies. Got an after the face-off, you've got an interesting half hour. How to live to be 100, right?
We do, and live well. It's going to be good.
And then Mark Evans will be here Thursday. We're going to do a Wildcat preview the day before the home opener.
Day before the home opener of NAU, bear down.
Yes, you've got Anthony Jimeno, AG will be with you.
Right, my partner at the Tucson Citizen, and we will be here to talk Wildcat sports.
All right, holding down the fort. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Hey, this is Terry live from Sweet Tomatoes. I'm right off of North Stone. I'm at my favorite restaurant right here at Sweet Tomatoes. And you know what? We're giving away school supplies, and it is back to school, and why not bring the kids and the family to enjoy their new Asian-inspired recipes? Now through the end of the month, come enjoy the Thai peanut and red pepper toss salad and their fresh herb Thai slaw. You can even create your own soup by adding any of the 6 fresh ingredients to the famous Asian ginger broth. Yummy! In addition, enter to win our Taste the World sweepstakes for your chance to win a $5,000 culinary vacation and daily instant prizes. Visit SweetTomatoes.com for contest details and official rules and to view the full menu. Sweet Tomatoes, always the freshest ingredients from the farm to your fork. Come on by. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Spin the famous prize wheel. We're on the corner of Stone and Wetmore, right across the street from the Tucson Mall. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. This is Terry Live with 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Of course, that music signals the weekend has officially begun here in Tucson. And on the Buckmaster Show, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, where they're looking forward to a lot of fun this Labor Day weekend. Gem and Mineral Show they've got going, and Chicano Music Festival. Then a week or so after that, it's the Pick-A-Mania Bluegrass, Folk, Roots, and Americana Festival, September 13th through September the 14th. Lots of great places to stay in Silver City, including Axel Canyon Preserve, Wildwood Retreat and Hot Springs, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Today, Matt is up in the high country getting ready for your son to start NAU. Is that correct?
As they say, go Lumberjacks. I know my fellow Wildcats will forgive me for just one weekend. But, yeah, my oldest is going to be moving into the dorm tomorrow morning, and we are all very, very proud of him, as you can imagine.
Quite a milestone. Nice weather up there. I'm sure the nights are very pleasant this time of year.
I won't rub it in, Bill, but the high doesn't even get, it's not going to hit 70 today. High 60s and cool. Yeah.
Well, here in southern Arizona, things are a little bit cloudy and overcast, and still we've had some rain, but not enough. Anyway, southern Arizona salsa and tequila, those two items go very well together.
They sure do, Bill, and this is one of our favorite events of the year. It brings out some of the best salsa and tequila you can possibly imagine. It's the annual Salsa and Tequila Challenge. It starts at 5:30 tomorrow afternoon up at La Encantada Mall, up on Skyline and Campbell, of course, and they're going to have more than 30 local restaurants vying for the best salsa, and 30 of Tucson's top bartenders will each be mixing up what they believe to be the best tequila cocktail in town. And the best part, Bill, everyone gets to sample the entries and vote for their favorite. $45 gets you in the door, so come hungry and thirsty tomorrow at 5:30 at La Encantada.
Maybe it's just as well you are up in Flagstaff, because I think you would be tempted to sample all 30 of the tequilas.
You've seen me at work, Bill.
There you go. Hey, Running of the Bulls comes to Tucson.
Yeah, if there's room after all that salsa and tequila on Saturday, how about heading over to Contigo at River and Campbell on Sunday at 4 for Paella Aplenty. Now, while the Bulls are going to be running in Pamplona, Contigo is going to be dishing out all-you-can-eat paella with Spanish rice and all the works. They'll also be serving up sangria by the pitcherful, which is an absolute must to wash down all that goodness. $25 for all-you-can-eat paella. Sounds like a great deal, and good thing for them, I'm out of town. They'd surely lose money on me, Bill.
Oh, I think they would indeed. Hacienda del Sol has a big event this weekend.
Yeah, Pigs and Pinot, Sunday at 5:30. This is a great culinary experience. We're talking a full-on 3-course pig extravaganza with choices like pork belly and pork ragu, even pork cheeks, with each course paired lovingly with a different Pinot wine. The dinner's only $55 a person, so reserve your spot today and follow your snout on Sunday up to Hacienda del Sol for Pigs and Pinot.
Don't you talk about duck in this week's column in Inside Tucson Business?
We do. I'm fascinated by the Renaissance across the duck landscape, and there's a couple restaurants in town that I think are doing duck better than many in town, and just fascinated by how this has become really one of the biggest fowl stories in town. Two restaurants are doing it well, so pick a cup.
All right, Matt, have a great weekend at Flagstaff. Thanks. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by our friends at Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. All of the in-studio guests on the Buckmaster Show, and for that matter, all of the employees here at KVOI are very welcome indeed to receive those bottles, those cool bottles of Culligan water. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show on this very radio station, KVOI, 3 to 5. Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, Monday morning, 6 to 8. Phil Cedar starts the Saturday Weekend Expert Talk at 7 tomorrow. He'll be talking about your garden. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, she is not only lovely, but very talented young lady. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be taking a few days off up to the Canadian Rockies next week. Enjoy some cool weather, but please tune in for our regular time, 12:04, Monday, for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.